Who just chimed in there?
Hey, Mike, this is Rob.
Hey, Rob. We got a late arriving bunch tonight. Oh, there we go. Yeah, it has been not quite 24 hours, hasn't it?
Yeah. That was a good call.
Yeah, it was. So you've got, a leads manager on board?
I'm in the process of onboarding them, yeah.
Okay. Have they started yet?
Not officially, no.
Okay.
I would imagine by next week.
Gotcha.
Hey, just a quick question. Would you, do background checks on your employees or not?
Depends on the scenario.
For a part-timer, probably not, huh?
Yeah, depends on the scenario. Are they going to be handling anything financial in nature, that kind of thing?
No.
Yeah, it really depends on the position. If they are, then yes, Rob does. But like a VA type role like this, somebody working leads.
Yeah.
Typically not, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another component to think about for sure. Just depends on what they're doing. Yep. Well, that'll be good. Get that off your plate. And then you're going to move right into a salesperson as well. Sounds like.
Yeah. I guess when he challenges, you got to do it, huh?
That would be optimal, yeah. I mean, wait till some of this gets off your plate. I mean, you'll start thinking, what the heck was I waiting for?
No, I totally agree. Yeah.
That's what will happen.
I'll get this guy on board, and I'll start a salesperson next week.
Yep.
Not start a salesperson, but start looking for a salesperson.
Start looking.
Week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'm creating ads right now, and I'll hit Craigslist and Indeed.com.
Perfect. Yeah, that sounds good. These are big steps.
Pan out way more leads as far as applicants than Craigslist did for that position.
What was that?
Indeed.com.
Indeed.com is better?
Yeah, Indeed. I think I did an ad for a couple days and I spent $100 and I got dozens of leads off that ad versus Craigslist. I think I got one or two.
Yeah.
What was the position?
Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine they're better quality too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the quality is way better, too.
Yeah. Now, are you looking for part-time or full-time sales?
Full-time. And you will, too,
because
it's a commission-based job, so you want that person on the phone as many hours as they're willing to be on the phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
So, Darren, how have you been?
Life is grand, my friend.
How was vacation?
I went to Croatia for 10 days, and I did not
want
to come back home.
Was it awesome?
It was unbelievable, like trip of a lifetime. And I would highly recommend everyone on the phone at some point in their life to this trip.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, we were on a 50-meter boat, which had 20 cabins on it. So 20 of the people on the boat were friends of mine, and we just had an unbelievable time. Just, you know, no doubt about it. So
that's awesome. Cool.
So I've got
welcome back.
News, so.
Yeah, why don't you jump in? We haven't heard from you in a couple weeks.
I know. I feel like I forgot that I was even getting coached here. So
don't forget that. Yeah, what's been going on?
So my acquisitions manager started yesterday, right when I got back.
Yep.
And he spent a couple hours on the phone just trying to get acclimated. He probably went through about 20 leads.
Yep.
Today he landed a motivated seller with two adjacent houses, two parcels next to each other. And the guy's like, look, I just have some back taxes. I don't want to make any money. Just offer me what I owe. And so we're going to put that deal together tonight and get it over to him tomorrow. But so
less
yeah, my
less than 24 hours in.
Aaron Ruth.
Less than 24 hours in, he's made 40 calls. He got one call back, and this person happens. Actually, he called his mother. He landed. He ended up calling his mother by accident. His mother was like, "Oh, that's my son." I think that he may have turned those houses over to the bank, but we're not sure. And then she gave us his phone number.
Yep.
And we called, and he's got two properties that he's ready to sell. So,
what does he owe on them?
He doesn't know. He said he thinks combined the back taxes might be around 20 grand.
Okay.
So that's a good question. So, like, I'm in this position. He's like, just offer me what I owe. So do I do, like, a quick preliminary title search to see what liens are out there, or do I?
Yeah.
How would you see?
Yeah. Have your title company pull an O&E on both of them real quick.
Okay.
Yep. Because, yeah, that's the question, right? Does he owe 10 grand on each of them or 110?
Exactly. No, he said it wasn't bad, and I did a real quick check on Zillow to see what the property values are in the area, and they're between 60 and 80,000 a house.
Yep.
So it's looking pretty good. I mean, I'm not saying it's in the bag yet, but I think it looks pretty good. And for the
it's awesome.
For him only being on the phone for like a half a day yesterday and three quarters of a day today, that's not too bad.
That's better than not too bad. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Pretty good. So he's excited.
I bet.
And then the other good news is I wholesaled a deal that I had in my inventory. I put it up on the market, and I bought it for $65,000, and I just got it under contract for $99,900. So,
that doesn't stink.
No.
From the,
so he was
from the fix and flip guy.
Yeah, from the fix and flip guy. I'm just freaking just make money. I'm the new make money guy, and stop doing all this damn work.
Well, yeah, what did you think of that process for that check? How simple is that? I mean, it's not.
Sure
you haven't closed
sure
it yet, but that's a lot less. That's 100 times less work than the flip.
Way less work. So I bought two houses from this guy, though. One of them is the deal that I just wholesaled for $99,900. The other one I am going to flip, though, because I'll probably make about $80,000 on it. So
hey,
gonna,
there's nothing wrong with both and, but that's where you want to live in the both and world, right?
Right, right.
If you want to flip houses, fantastic. Just get your wholesale life
get
in
your
order
wholesale
because
deal.
then it takes the pressure off the flips.
Exactly.
What's your closing date on this one?
Which one?
The $35,000 wholesale deal.
July 21st, and I asked them about that. I was like, if this is a cash deal, why do we need so much time? And they just said that's what they want. So fine. You need 3 weeks. Fine. No problem. 4 weeks.
Right.
Right. So it's a cash deal though, and they're putting a bunch of money down. So I'm good.
What do you mean a cash deal and they're putting a bunch down?
They're putting up a bunch of earnest money. I hate it. You know, I just said, hey, I don't want $1,000. I want like $3,000-$4,000, you know, if they're going to.
Yep.
Especially in a cash deal, if they walk, I don't want it to be $1,000. So.
Absolutely. Cool.
So I just have a couple technical questions, though. And my Sawyer is the guy that I hired. So if you hear me say Sawyer, he's my acquisitions manager.
Okay.
So we're wondering a couple things. Like when you leave a voicemail for somebody, what do you guys have something that's hammered out as far as what you say? Because the issue that we had today was somebody called him back and said, hey, you left me a message. And he was like, oh, great. He's like, I called 15 people, and they said, oh, well, what's the property address? And he didn't know because, you know. So we're trying to just figure out what is the appropriate way to leave a message for someone so when they call you back, you can put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Gotcha. Because I think I'm following, because you're leaving so many messages that one of them calls back and you're trying to think of who do I have on the other end of the line, right?
Who do I have and what property are you talking? Because when you try to say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not sure who you are or which, you know, then they kind of get a little suspicious. Like, what do you mean you don't know which property address? Like, if you don't know the property address, I'm not going to talk to you. So they get real weirded out about it. So I changed, and you tell me whether this is, you know, I said, leave a voicemail.
Yep.
I said, say, hey, this is Sawyer. This message is for Mr. Smith. Please give me a call back. So that at least when they call him back and say, oh, you left me a message, he can say, if I left a bunch of messages today, who did I leave the message for?
Don't say a bunch. Don't say a bunch in the script. Say, you know, pick a number. So it's not like you're, it's not like I'm one of a thousand people you talk to today.
Yeah.
So just say, you know, just say, hey, I've left about seven here in the last couple hours. Can you remind me? Which one? I've made a couple calls on houses. That would help me out. Something like that. But, yeah, I get it. There really isn't an ideal way unless that is if you're sitting in front of FreedomSoft and that's the primary number, you can search for it really quick. But assuming that doesn't happen, right, you're just going to you're just going to have a script in there or a handful.
Right.
Don't say a bunch. Hey, I left a handful of messages today on some properties we're looking into. Can you just remind me of your address again? That's all.
For the most part,
it won't be a big deal.
So, like, I thought of that, too. And, like, if you end up calling a sibling or a mother or a brother or whatever, then even if they give you their address, it's not really the address in the database. So that's why I went back to, hey, let's leave a message saying who we're looking for, which is the homeowner, and then we could do a search by the homeowner and then track it back to the property and do it that way. But
you could if you have a last name and somebody calls you, then you can do a search for that. Hey, if you're having a side conversation on here, just hit *6 for us quick. Thank you. Yeah, so Darren, if your sales guy's online, they can just put in a name search. So, but if they don't happen to be, they just have to have a little script like, hey, I left a handful of messages today.
Right.
So, that's all.
Yeah, because he was saying, hey, this is Sawyer. You know, I'm looking for Mr. Jones who owns property XYZ. And I was like, that might be too much information on the voicemail, because you want someone to call you back. And like, I feel if you give them too much information, if they're more curious about what's going on and what you're calling about, you might get a call back than if you leave like, hey, this is Sawyer, I'm an investor, I'm interested in buying 123 Main Street, call me back. You may not get a return call on that. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think when it comes to scripts, there's a perfect one, you know, whatever you guys are comfortable with. But you can say, hey, I'm calling, you know, I'm looking for Mr. Smith. This is Mike Snyder calling about a vacant house you own in Cleveland. Give me a call back. And that way they know enough to know what you're calling about. Because if it is the owner, they're going to know they have a vacant house.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, just
okay.
You know, fiddle around with a couple different options and see what gets the reply. Again, you're never going to come up with a script that, you know, makes everybody happy or fits every situation. So at the end of the day, you know, your salesperson just, you know, leave a good message and, you know, get through it, follow up with a text on some of them. But yeah, that's it. And it's just persistence on the numbers, on the phones, which it's already paying off. So.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, I like process. You know, I'm just looking for the exact.
Yep.
I'm trying to wring the towel as much as I can, and I feel like if someone calls me back and I can't put the piece of the puzzle together, I might lose a good lead or something. You know.
You could, yeah. People will be pretty understanding, I think, for them. Again, you're not right. Some people are just cranky, and no matter what you say, it's not going to work, and that just is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you just kindly explain, hey, you know, I made a call on a handful of, or I left a message on a handful of deals today. You know, what's this one? And then ideally, if you have a full-time salesperson, you know, they're going to be in front of the computer while they're on the phone, and there's a pretty good chance they can look it up. So.
Right.
Yeah, there's going to be outliers. No way to avoid it.
Okay.
Hey, let me ask you on that wholesale deal. Have you wholesaled a deal before? I know you've. Not recently.
No, not recently. This is the first one. And so it's kind of breaking the seal.
First ever, right? Because you've always been a buying fix and flip guy, or not first ever.
Not first ever. I've done a few that were out, like I bought a couple houses that were outside my wheelhouse areas.
Okay.
And, but not more than one or two in the last 5 years, put it that way.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And this will be the biggest check I've cashed, you know, for sure, if
yeah.
I'm doing any work.
Yeah, $35K is a legit wholesale fee. That's awesome.
Right.
Love
so,
it.
So a couple more questions. I'll let some other people ask questions. So I know that there was talk about being able to make calls from within FreedomSoft.
Uh-huh.
Is that available now, or is that something you're working on?
No, that's available now, but I can tell you, Rob's sales team, they're calling from their phone and office line. You know, they're like Chris is remote. He lives down
yeah.
in Arizona. I don't know if he has a little office down there or if he's just calling from a Google Voice number on his phone. The thing
gotcha.
About it right now is if you have 10 numbers, there's one at the top of the screen. That's the one that you can click on and dial. But if that isn't the one you want to talk to, you've got to swap out the additional. And so when we add some more functionality to the phone system,
yeah.
I believe the tech guys are going to make every number in there clickable.
Wow.
So you can dial them. At this point, it's not there. So your salespeople are going to be faster on a landline or a cell phone.
I gotcha. And if somebody calls
yep.
you back, okay, so that's not available. All right, I won't even push the issue on that then. So here's why I'm asking the question, though, is because my sales guy's cell phone is a 716 area code from Buffalo. And
okay.
people are like, why are you calling me from New York if you're, you know, and so
get
you
a,
come up with, yeah.
Yeah, get a Google Voice number from with the local area code.
So if you get a Google Voice number,
uh-huh.
when he calls
put,
from his cell phone, it'll show up. As
it calls
a local
from that number, yeah. And then when they call it back, he'll know that it's an incoming Google Voice call, so he knows it's from one of the leads.
I got you. I've never seen that done. So on his cell, like if he makes the call from his cell phone, how does he
uh-huh.
tell his cell phone that he wants to make it outgoing from his Google?
You open the Google Voice app. You click open the Google Voice app first, and then dial the number.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and you tell it which one you want it to dial from.
Well, he's probably only going to have one. So.
I gotcha.
Yeah. You just open it up. That number will be tied to his Google Voice app because he'll have to log in, and then you'll dial through that, and then. It'll typically call you. You answer your phone. It rings real quick, and then it dials the number that you dialed. So, yeah, it works easy.
Okay. I'm definitely going to use that because I feel like we would get a better response rate of people picking up the phone if it wasn't
yep.
like a New York call because people don't
yep.
want to be bothered.
Yep. Yeah, definitely get a local number. Be even more effective.
Gotcha. Google.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask a follow-up call?
Yeah.
Or a
yeah.
question?
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
When you're doing your that big wholesale, and I know you're a flipper, but
yeah.
on that wholesale, did you pay cash for it, or was it on a contract?
I actually paid and closed on that house because I was going to hold that as a rental property. And
yeah.
so my other good news is, so the cap rate on that house was still decent. It was like 10 or 12. But the taxes are, you know, for it's a $100,000 house or 120 fixed up or 130. The taxes are $4,000 a year. Okay. So the other good news that I have is that I bought another house in Cleveland, which is in a decent area. The taxes are only $600 a half. So $1,200 a year. And I'm going to make nearly the same amount of rental income, and I only paid $41,500 for this other property in Cleveland that I'm going to hold. So I'm going to sell this house and wholesale it for $35,000, and then I'm going to practically pay it off in cash with the wholesale money and own it clear and free, and then collect $1,000 a month and not have barely any taxes to pay either on top of that. So that's what I want to do is wholesale a bunch of deals and then find an area here locally in my market that I want to buy and hold in with lower taxes and higher cap rates so that I can pay properties off in cash and then live on that residual income and spend more days in Croatia.
Sure. I was just going to say that. Well, and go back to Croatia.
Mike,
go back.
The reason why I asked that question is obviously $35,000 wholesale fee, that's outstanding, but
yeah.
You know, I had the one and I'm paying cash for it too, and it's different if you make $10,000 off of a wholesale contract that you flip or $10,000 when you have to have to buy it cash 50 and then turn around and sell it for 60. Because obviously the risk is higher.
I would never take possession of something, you know, that didn't have that big of a spread. So I was going to buy and hold that property. I paid 65 for it. It probably needs 15 or 20 to be fixed up. So I'd be in at 80,000. I would probably make about $1,250 a month in rent, but then I'd have that $4,000 a year tax payment to pay.
Yeah, but you wouldn't expect to make $35,000 wholesale fee on everyone you wholesale.
No, this was like a grand slam. I mean, it was a grand slam. So, but if you have to do three wholesale deals and make $10,000 a pop to do the same thing, I mean, so be it. You just, you know, get a couple base hits and.
Yeah, that's not my question. My question is, if you're assigning the deal and making $10,000 wholesale fee, that's one thing. But if you're buying the thing cash and then doing a double close and making $10,000, that's a totally different thing. So
no,
I'm just asking
Mike
or anybody else if that's something that you really need to think hard about.
Tell you what, Rob, he's always said you never lose money taking a check. So, you know, even if there's a $10,000 spread and you double close it and pay $1,500 on each side and walk with seven, I mean, clearly the assignment's the cleaner way to do it. But if he has a deal under contract and a buyer and it turns, you know, $1,500, clearly he's shooting for more, but things happen. He's taking the check.
Yeah.
For sure.
Heck yeah.
I guess my problem is, we talked about it last night, is you know, I could buy it next. I can buy it tomorrow, but I don't have the buyer's list like I need to, so I don't have a buyer right away.
Yeah, Rob, in that case, you would have a private seller. You'd have a 21 to 30 day inspection period. You would tie up.
Yeah.
You would find your buyer in that inspection period. If you had to walk, you would, and nothing would ever go forward. So totally different scenario. Darren, obviously, he's explaining this one. He had a completely different intent, and then he said, "Hey, I wonder if I can just move it." And then ended up selling it for, you know, $99.9 and turning 35. So, yeah, this was a case of the, here's what I'm going to do. Oh, wait, let's try this. Yeah, that works better. You only think you can make 10, you've got a big inspection period. That's when you're going to find your buyer. Instead of what you're asking is, would you close on it and then look for the buyer? No.
Well, yeah.
You would find it during inspection.
Yeah, your situation,
you would tie it up with an inspection period, find the buyer during the inspection period. You'd either find him or you wouldn't, in which case you'd say, okay, do I want to pay cash for this thing and own it myself, or do I want to let it go per inspection?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true. Or just keep it and rehab it.
Well, yeah, either. That's what's so, you know, when you guys have options, you know, and it's all about, I mean, when you're getting started, right, in the coaching program here or whatever, it's all about wholesale a deal and turn it, right? But then it's add on, find a general contractor, you know, find somebody that can do work, because what Rob's doing, like in Memphis, there are a bunch of turnkey buyers in there in Memphis that they want deals that are fixed up, rented, ready to go out of the gate. They just want to come in and buy it, have it tenant occupied and go. And so Rob and Brad are finding a bunch of buyers and they say, okay, we can cater to that. So they go find a general contractor or two, buy the house with private money, fix it up with private money, get it rented, and then sell it to the turnkey operators. So they're just, when you have the pieces to the puzzle in place like this, it allows you to say, what do the buyers here want? Oh, you want that? I can do that. Just bring them what they want.
Right.
That's what he's doing. Yeah, Darren, strong update coming back from a little vacay in Croatia there. So.
Yeah, I'm excited, especially about Sawyer. I mean, I can't wait to see
deal.
What he turn out. Now the next thing I have to do is I probably have to hire someone else to start looking for buyers because I know that my intentions are good, that I want to do it, but I don't have
get them on board now. Get him on board now.
Right.
Absolutely. If you're thinking about it, get him on board. Spend your time building the team, putting the systems in place, and let it go do what it does. I'm telling you guys, this is just what Rob does. They launched Memphis less than 2 months ago, right? 2 or 3 weeks ago, I can't remember, that one Friday, they sold 8 houses to that one guy. It was 22 transactions. It was 8 or 10 homes. I can't remember. They got paid wholesale fee, construction management fee, whatever they were, right? They built it all in. Rob and Brad made $155,000 in a day. They closed more last week. They're closing 5 this week. They're not doing anything different. It's just they have a full-time salesperson. They have an dispositions person, and they're just running full-time. And then they hired this young college kid that Brad knew. They brought him in to work for free, and he started training bird dogs, doing a couple other things, right, just generating massive amounts of leads. And he did a great job for a couple months. So then they sat down and said, we can't, you know, this kid's killing it. We got to pay him. So they just hired him. He's going to stay on board when he goes back to college, and they're hoping that when he's done, you know, he joins the team, and that's what's going on. But it doesn't take many pieces to just crank this sucker up. And then, you know, that's when you guys will go, holy cow, I got a full-time person on the phone. I got a full-time dispositions person moving them. Lead gen needs to go through the roof because they're going to start, right, blowing through leads. But you already know how to do that. And that's when you can sit 10,000 feet above the business and say, okay, I got to feed this machine now. And then you can eventually bring in a college kid or, right, piece number 3 that says, here's what you're going to do. Post an ad, find the bird dogs, train the bird dogs, get the leads coming in, get them to the VA, get them skip trace, because we're going to start to feed this machine. And, it doesn't take a lot of moving pieces. This is, we're not talking about massive teams here. So,
no.
Again, if you're newer and you're still at step one and you're thinking, I got to get my first deal, this is down the road, but you're going to be here quicker than you think. Right? Because if you want the business to grow, you have to get out of the way. And Rob, you can attest, it's one of the hardest pieces to do. Darren, the same thing. You guys are just about everybody on here, I could say everybody, is wired like an entrepreneur. And as entrepreneurs, we say, just get out of the way. I know what to do. I'm going to go do it. And it's the advantage and it's the disadvantage. It's the advantage because it's what gets a business up and running. But it very quickly becomes the disadvantage because you're limited by what you can take on. And the thought process is, if it's going to get done, I'm going to do it. And so there's this massive transition that happens when people start to say, wait a minute, it's going to get done. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to find the right person to do it. And then that thing can start to grow without you putting in more time, energy, and effort, right? Now you're working on the business most of your time. So again, if you're just getting started, don't panic. We're just, you know, we're talking to a couple guys here the last few minutes that we're already moving. We're getting them, you know, next level. And so if you're not there yet, that's okay. But this is really valuable conversation because this is how you build business and not create job.
Right.
That's the conversation we're having.
Even
early
this
on.
Theory.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Well, early on. Early on in real estate, it's about the how-tos. How do I get a transaction closed? And then once you've done one, how do I close 5? How do I close 10? And then what happens is investors get stuck in that. They just keep doing everything, and they wake up and say, this isn't what I intended to build. And so through this group, right, we're going to have the conversation about here's where you're at now, but we want to give you a glimpse of where you're going because even if you're brand new, build it right the first time and in – 12 months, 24 months, 5 years, you'll have business and not job with real estate. So anyway, trying to speak to, if you're not here yet, that's okay. Listen to the conversation anyway, because it's giving you a glimpse of where you're headed. So, and I mean, this is huge, guys. You know, Rob, we were talking about yesterday, but you and your wife really know what you're doing. You're a great team. You want to double what you're doing. You don't want to, you don't want to double the time you have put into it. You want to cut that in half, plus double the business. There's only one way that happens, and that's to bring on people. So.
It's so scary.
It is until you do it, right? Just like anything. I mean,
yeah.
anything new is scary. That's human nature. It's the fear of the unknown. But right. As soon as you do it, I mean, we've heard it multiple times on here where people are saying, wow, I've never hired a VA. Hey, I hired one. Oh, you know, yesterday I thought of three more things I can have them do. So it very quickly moves from, I'm afraid of this, I'm doing this, how did I ever live any other way? And it can all happen in 24 hours.
Crazy.
So, yeah, it's good stuff, guys. Who else?
I feel like I'm in the same boat with hiring this position guy. I feel stuck, but for some reason I feel like not that I'm not going to do it. I just feel like I need to wait. Like
you
I'm
don't.
Not ready.
You're ready.
Yeah, I keep thinking like, oh, I need to. I'm not ready. I just hired my acquisitions guy. I need to wait a little bit or something. You know, I don't feel like I should just rush right into it.
We're here to tell you that you're ready. So don't wait. Get them on board.
All right. Next week, you'll have a new update.
Good.
Crazy. All right.
That's it. Darren, if you don't, you're going to get stuck just doing something else and thinking, holy crap, I need a dispositions person. You know that's going to happen.
I do.
We're not after job. And here's the thing. One good salesperson can just light up the board with deals. So get a full-time person on the other end, moving them to the buyers. Now you become overseer, CEO, which is what the position you should be in anyway, right? When we start in real estate, a lot of times, almost always, we have to work in the business. But we gradually want to pull ourselves out of it, start to work on the business, and then give guidance, give feedback, give input, coach a little bit. And that's when it really starts to run and to take off like wildfire, when you get out of the way.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just so unnatural for my brain.
It is. But on the other end of it, you're going to look back and think, what was I doing the last 5 years? Why didn't I do this then?
Right.
That's where it's going.
Yep.
So good stuff, guys. Who else?
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, good to have you back.
Aaron's here. Aaron Rose.
Aaron, what's
I'll
happening?
I'll jump in.
Oh, just
tell us about that wholesale deal in Denver.
Well, currently, so the main thing with that is in doing the research on the zoning to find out it's actually not gonna work to split it as a duplex, lot, and there's various reasons why. And there's similar reasons as to why down the street, like on the same block, same side of the street, there are duplex lots that are zoned the exact same way, but they've got grandfathered in when they changed everything in 2010. So
what are you selling it for? 360?
So I'm shooting – no, that's what I've got it under contract for. I'm trying to sell it for 370 even, just, you know.
Knowing the prices in Denver, what are you in Berkeley? Am I remembering
that? Yeah, Berkeley. Yep.
I mean, that's
on Zenobia.
That's
Street,
a sweet.
Right,
that's a sweet little part of town. You know, my buddy Paul here in town has 10 of these big scrapes going. He's buying in those kinds of neighborhoods. You know, put a $500,000, $500,000 to $600,000 in. So he's in at 9, but selling for, you know, $1.2 million to $1.4 million.
For a single.
What do the comps go to in the area? Single family house. Are they up at $1.2 million, $1.3 million yet?
Yeah, you can be. Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but that's rare. I think that's more rare than a little bit less. But yeah, I mean, it's zoned for a single family with an additional dwelling unit. And I was thinking, wow, this house, it's the existing house that's all the way at the far back side of the lot. You know, maybe that could be the additional dwelling unit.
Is it an alley house?
Yeah, it sits along the alley. It's actually, it's a super weird house. It was like at one time a chicken coop there, and then they built another house around that, and they built a house around that. You know,
nice.
So it's like, yeah, it's like three houses or more all stacked on top of one another. But I thought, hey, yeah, this, you know, build your nice big modern home in the front. You've already got your ADU in the back. But the guy at planning said that the existing house would have to be the single family. So anyway, I've got the guy that I had talked to about recently. I've been working with this fella and talking to him about doing my, you know, he answered my sales acquisitions ad, but he's been in real estate a long time. He's just kind of getting back into it.
Yep.
I think. And anyway, he's been working on, he's been kind of wholesaling lately, getting back into real estate. He's just been sort of wholesaling one or two, you know, deals on his own here and there up in the Boulder area and Fort Collins or whatever. So he's been shopping it to some developer guys as well. I'm still kind of in the same position.
How many buyers? Let me ask you this. How many buyers have you talked to about it?
I've talked to maybe three different people, probably three or four.
Okay. We've got to be at three or four a day. So
yeah,
get in. I don't know if you got bandit signs out. Those have got to go out.
Not yet.
Just saying I have one for sale in town. And then you've got to jump, have a local agent. Do you know an agent in town?
I know several.
Okay, have them do you a favor and pull you all the absentee owners there in the last 6 months, 6 to 12 months, and grab that list.
Okay.
Say, I've got another one for sale. But you've got to get signs up.
Yeah.
Because people, investors are driving that neighborhood, and the workers and the owners that are going to visit their property that are already under construction there, you have to go there. So, I mean, you've got to be talking to buyers on a daily basis because you've got a live one here. I don't think your price is that far off. I mean, Denver's nuts right now with what people will pay. So get that sucker moving.
You may be right because I did call on one. I was like, well, there's one around the corner. I know it's a smaller lot. It's definitely going to be a scrape because of the condition of the property. And I was like, and I know it sold for the same price that I've got this one under contract for. So I actually, I skipped tracing research and called that girl who's a debutante out of Oklahoma City. And I was like, wow, this is, you know, maybe she and her banking family who are, maybe they're investing in Denver. So I called. Actually, I got the housekeeper of Granddaddy who is the chairman of all these banks that he owns. And I left a message, and he called me back later that day. But in the meantime, I had already spoken to the agent who sold her the property. And it turns out she was buying here in for her own home to scrape and build, and they haven't done it yet. But, you know, it's like, wow, I feel like I'm getting into the circles of people with money here. So it's not too tough. It's just it's the timing thing. So.
Get out there because we've been talking about what to do with this thing now for a couple different office hours. So you've got to get signs out. You've got to get that list. You've got to drive around to any other – I mean, this one just happens to be where you live. You have to drive around to every other house under construction in that neighborhood, go inside and ask who the owner is and get a hold of them. I mean, you've got – people want to buy in Berkeley.
That's true.
That's a great neighborhood. Good location. I think Denver has a couple more years. This isn't going to go forever. So get this sucker moved. But, yeah, three to four buyers total isn't going to cut it. We got to be talking to 5 to 10 a day, and they're out there. I mean, everybody's buying in Denver. So you can put just a neutral ad on Craigslist if you want.
I do have
that.
I do have that. A couple of folks have called. And I have talked to more than three or four because I have gotten some other calls from agents who have investors that they work for and stuff like that. But, yeah, it just feels like – and I've also talked to an architect who works for a development firm who had said, you know, he had been the first one to tell me, no, you can't flip this lot. And then I had all that confirmed by the city. But, yeah, he was like, yeah, at that price, it's pretty, you know. He's like, I don't know anybody who'd be interested in that lot at that price.
So here's the magic word. It's until. And it's one of the greatest words in the English, greatest words in the English language, right? You are going to make phone calls and find buyers until it's under contract. Here's why this is valuable. Number one, get this deal closed. Number two, when you bring on a dispositions person, you're going to teach them what you're about to go do.
Right. Just keep going until you find it.
Make it happen. Buyer by Monday.
Buyer by Monday. I think I can do that. We've got it. We're having to extend the contract anyway because it was a pretty short window of. So this other fellow that I've been talking to, he was, you know, I was going to bring him in as a walkthrough and help me, you know, bring the price down potentially, as bring him in as the investor. And he, you know, he thought he had a buyer if we could get the price down. So I'm going to split it with him, but. Yeah, so I've got to extend this contract a little bit. I'm not sure how much time I've got.
You need that absentee buyer list in there for two reasons. One, to call the buyers, and two, to see where your price stacks up. I would guess you're right in the wheelhouse would be my thought. You may be on the high end of it, but I don't know. That's the thing. You got to find out.
For the last.
Yep. You can buy the list from you can buy it from List Source too.
Right.
But if you can get an agent to pull it, they'll pull it for nothing.
Well, I don't mind. I don't mind paying it. It's just the
either way.
It
doesn't matter how you get it. You just have to get your hands on it. Because then it's going to tell you those two things: how does my price stack up, and who's buying, who has recently bought in the area, so you know exactly who to call.
Right on. Right on. Well, on the second note, just an update on the wholesaling out of the out of town area that I picked, where I've got a bird dog going. Finally, sat down with my guy today and started making phone calls, and the second person, second set of numbers, you know, second lead that he started calling, got the guy on the phone. He was interested in selling his property. He said he's got a lot of them. So, you know, and then he basically, you know, hung up saying he was calling back in the morning with a price, with an offer.
Love it.
So,
beautiful.
Yeah, the prices are kind of all over the map in that area. I mean, he says it's rented for $400, but it seems like everything else is at least twice that around there.
Right.
I think it needs to be fixed up a little bit. Could go for more than that, but he had said.
So it's tenant.
He said, "Do you have an idea what?" Apparently, they just put somebody in there. It showed up as vacant from my bird dog, but apparently they just got somebody in there. So,
gotcha.
But it sounds like he'd be willing to sell it. And he asked for how much, and he had said, "You know, probably whatever it's assessed for, maybe a little less." The assessment was, I think, for like around 25,000, something like that.
Yeah, that'll be a tough one if he's got it rented at half what the market goes for.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
but you said he has multiple to sell
for a year lease. Yeah, potentially. Yeah, sounded like.
Cool.
Sounded like he's got multiple that he's got. So could work out. But
so
I
you've
like
got
to
you've got to get this Denver one moved for a couple of reasons, and the primary one is. The short term is the payday. The long term is you've got a full-time salesperson. They're going to create some work when they start calling leads, just like Darren and Rob's salespeople are going to do, right, on the call here.
Yeah.
And you're very quickly going to need somebody on the phone moving them. It's the natural progression of the business. It's where you want it to go.
Yeah.
And so you need to go through this process so that you can teach a dispositions person how to hustle up a buyer. I mean,
you
got to go all out.
The main issue is not knowing what to do because I know what to do. It's that timing thing, you know. It's this whole
plan.
What do you mean
got,
timing?
Got screwed because of the volume of work that just all of a sudden dropped on me from this hailstorm that I'm going through. It's like, it's insane. And
so
if you
need signs out, then you've got to pay somebody to go
pay
do
someone
them.
To do it, right?
Or a family member or
thinking.
Something, right? We can't.
Yeah, or like when
we
I
can't come
kids,
up with reasons
like,
why we're
make
not doing
signs
it.
Together. No, you're right.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Right. We just have
and
to find a way to get it done.
Hire someone to help me with the roofing stuff too. So that's the next step. That just
right.
happened yesterday. So that's going to take some work off my plate there. And
yep.
I need to move faster with getting these people in these positions.
This is everybody's challenge.
Yeah.
Everybody's busy. Everybody, yep. everybody. We're all busy. So, and it's one of the hardest things we got to overcome. But the bottom line is you've got a live one on the end of the line. So it is all systems go towards getting this thing sold. And then watch how valuable this becomes when you bring a dispositions person on and they say, okay, what do I do? And you say, here's what we're going to do this.
Okay.
And you say, bam, 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 bam. Now, as your buyer's list grow, you'll do less work to get them moved. But up front, you've got to leverage
them.
This to meet buyers. At the end of the day, I mean, if you can find 6 to 10 buyers in any market that are buying multiple deals a month, have money to be placed, you can make just about whatever you want. You can make $100,000 a month with 6 buyers who are legit, who are looking to buy multiple deals on a monthly basis. That's all it takes. But at this point, if you don't have those buyers yet, and you've got a live one, it's the easiest time to have a conversation to meet them. Because you're bringing something that you know they're looking for. So. All right, boss, make it
hey,
happen.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, it's Darren again. I'm just going to throw this out there. And I don't know how to get out of my brain, but I'm just terrified that I'm going to build this team, and they're going to be like, wait a minute, we just made $150,000 this month and you gave us $15,000 of it and you're keeping the other $135,000. Why don't we just go, the three of us, me, my college intern and the disposition guy, and they just go, you know, set up their own team or something.
They might. But
I know.
Don't let the potential fear of something a year from now slow you down today. That's not sound logic.
Right. Because, I mean, everybody that I'm hiring, they're just smart people. They're intelligent.
Absolutely.
They're go-getters. They're,
absolutely.
You know, these are people that can easily learn.
It may come to
this.
Come to the point, Darren, where maybe you bump them up and say, hey, run this market. I'll go make another one. Let's redo your pay. Let's just build a killer team. Go make your team. Here's how you can be incented on it. Go train people to do what you just did. Build a sales team. I'll launch, right? Because you're going to come to the table and say, I'll launch 3 more markets, which they have no idea how you're going to do that. Say, I'll launch 3 more markets. You can build a sales team in each of the markets. You can get paid a commission off everything they bring in and just be my nationwide sales manager.
And then they'll say yes or no.
And here's the thing that I've always appreciated about Rob. Anybody who works for Rob at any time can come to him and say, hey, man, I think this is the direction I want to go. And even if it's not there, he'll say, cool, can I help you get there? And he just knows that there are 1,000 other salespeople itching for a position like the one that this person has on your team, that they can come in, they have incredible leads. They can tie up big ticket items. They can make a legitimate payday. And so if you had to replace them, it's not a big deal. But he is
right.
He's just always operated out of this abundance mentality. And honestly, the better off, the better investors do, the better deals wholesalers sell, the better reputation all of us build as a group, the more money we all make. So there's never a shortage. You have to believe that. There's not a shortage of deals. There's not a shortage of buyers. There's not a shortage of salespeople. There's not a shortage of dispositions people. There's not a shortage of VAs. There isn't a shortage in any step of the process. That's the
Got
fact.
It.
So don't even sweat it.
Yeah, we're walking, we're just taking the leap of faith every week, so trust me.
Hey, yeah. Mike, can I add something?
Yeah, for sure.
It's my 2 cents worth, but Darren, you're worrying about something that's not going to happen. If these people are that good, they would have their own business. They wouldn't be working for you in the first place. That's my take. I mean, why you fear something that, it's not going
to
happen.
Well, they don't know how to do it yet.
Well,
they're going to learn, though. That's my fear, I guess. If they don't know how to do it, they're sharp people, and once they learn, then they're going to be like, all right, I just pulled down a commission for the company of $100,000, and I got 10,000 of it, you know, instead of getting, so. I promise you, I will.
Yeah.
I have these fears. I'm just sharing them with the group. That's all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which we appreciate. Go ahead, Rob. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, in my past life, I had a franchise with a sales company, and I've hired 30, 40, 50 salespeople, and they are all better than me, but they're never going to start their own business. They know how to sell. They know how to take the leads and convert them into clients. But they're never going to start their own business. It's just not their nature.
A good salesperson, Darren, for the most part, this is going back to the skills. Now, I'm going to generalize a little bit here, but and Rob, you can speak directly to this. A little unorganized, maybe.
Yeah.
Great on the phone, great closers. But here's the thing, right? Not necessarily the big picture, put all the pieces together. Hand
right.
me a list of good leads and let me go to town.
Right. They're good at getting in front of people. They're good at closing the sale. And they're good at going to the next one, but they don't have the big picture. They don't want to, you know, develop a company. It's too much work for a good salesperson. They just rather sell and make their money.
That's exactly it, because it's easy and they're good at it and they know how to do it. And they can think, I don't have to babysit anybody. I show up. Darren hands me great leads. I call on the phone. I make offers. They're high-ticket items. I'm cashing a great check. I'm taking care of myself and my family. And I can just come to the office every day, do what I do, and that's how they're wired.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
and
if you do
worst
that
case,
one out of 100, do exactly what Rob does. Go to a different market and let them manage that market. If you get that one guy, but it's not going to happen. All that
right,
often.
Right. Well, yep. The guy's been on the job 2 days, and he's been pretty honest with me. He tells me that he wants to buy, you know, some rental properties. Eventually he wants to buy apartment buildings. And I said, awesome. You know, I just said, hey, that's great. I'll help you do it. You know, we got to make some money, though. You got to learn how to – wholesaling is the core of being a real estate investor, and this is going to be good for you to learn and learn how to do it. So I know that this is a stepping stone for this guy.
Here's the thing, too, Darren. You don't have to teach him the whole process. If he's your sales guy
– yeah.
Get them good leads and show them how to get a deal tied under contract. You don't have to sit down with them and say, okay, now here's how I'm going to take this through, and here's where I'm finding buyers, and here's how I'm going to close this thing, and just walk it through A to Z. Let him be your sales guy. He may get a feel. I mean, he's going to understand that he's calling vacant leads and they've been skip traced, but for you, that's now second nature. Like, wow, that, you know, this is easy for me to figure this process out. But people don't, for the most part, they don't figure it out. They just
unless I share it, right?
Worst case scenario is you teach another investor how to go make a great living, and there's another great investor in town and in the country. You'll still have the deals you want, and you'll have turned loose, another productive member of society, and he'll go take care of his family and friends and do what he does, and you'll easily hire another salesperson. I mean, that's worst case.
Got it.
So.
Got it.
Yep.
With that said, hiring the dispositions manager, is that really any different than what I just did for hiring the acquisitions manager, or am I looking for a slightly different characteristic
still,
of a person?
No, it's still a sales job. On one of them, you say, here are leads, turn them into contracts. And the other, you say, here are contracts, find buyers. They're still selling the deal. Sales team is selling the seller, the homeowner. Disposition person is selling the buyer.
Gotcha. So I can probably go through 30 or 40 resumes that I haven't even opened yet and possibly hire from that group.
Yeah, your dispositions person, their contact info is probably already in your hand.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
Who else? Who else? Any questions?
Light load.
Fair game.
Hey, Tom, I just got on.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right.
No, Tom, you're fantastic. What are you frustrated
family?
At?
Family? Myself. I mean, I need to get buyers. I'm getting nowhere on it. I'm not doing that much on it. Granted, my family just came back from Bangladesh, so I'm a little distracted. But
tell them to grab another plane ticket and leave again. You got stuff to do.
Yeah. I just
I know you know what to do.
What?
I said I know you know what to do.
Yeah, sometimes I do, and then sometimes I just blank out. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And I forget. I'm just like, I'm an idiot. I don't know. I can't understand.
You're definitely not an idiot.
How I can just understand how I can just forget. I mean, like, okay.
Your brain.
I have all this momentum, and then I get freezed, and it just freezes up. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, your brain gets in the way. That's all.
That's the problem, yeah.
Did you get paperwork? You have a live deal on the line, right?
I got potentially, I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything signed yet. I mean, I got the first one from the original guy that disappeared on me. Well, he's back. He had to leave for Vietnam for a funeral or something, and now he's back and he's jonesing to sell it to me. And I have the other one where the guy looked at it, never signed it. I think he's just spacing out in the same neighborhood where there is no activity. Both of those are in area where there is
Well,
no
wait a minute. Is that the zip code we pulled and there was no data from the last 12 months, but there was 2 years ago?
No, that was the one that we did like yesterday or the day before. That was for a different zip code.
So if you go back two or three years in this zip code, there's zero transactions.
For owner occupants.
No, absentee owners.
For absentee owners. No, there's very little activity.
Very little or zero?
Very little.
Can I chime in for a second? Because I think I'm in Cleveland. Are you trying to find buyers in Cleveland?
He's in Pittsburgh.
He's in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's where our leads are coming from too. I mean, I'm in the same market, so I'll be in the same boat, but I can tell you we're going to be digging pretty hard here soon for buyers. So
here's what's interesting. Let me speak to this a little bit. Tom found something pretty interesting the other day. So he's got a deal under contract in his zip code. And, you know, like we talk about, I was just talking to Aaron about it. You got to get a hold of the absentee owner list in that area. Ideally, you know, Tom bought the absentee owner list for Pittsburgh. But then we looked down using list source. We drilled down to this zip code, pulled absentee owners for the last 12 months, zero. And I went in and double-checked because I didn't believe his email when he sent it to the coaching email. But if we go back 2 years on the last market recording date, this is the same process in step one. There were 39 in this zip code. And so this isn't a real estate talk. This is a business application. When you come across something that says that doesn't seem right, you've got to put your problem solver hat on and say, wait a minute, what's going on that there are zero in the last 12 months, but there are 39 if we go back 24 months? And so, you know, Tom, if you wanted to, right, you could get on with like a business development person at a title company. You could call somebody at the county and say, hey, I just pulled up some data. What's going on? But for there to be zero transactions in the last 12 months, but 39 2 years ago, it seems like there's either a massive delay in the recording process of the county, or there's a combined delay between the recording process and when ListSource, one of the data providers, is getting a hold of it. So here's what you could do. The MLS will have record. So if ListSource doesn't, and you look at that and you're kind of puzzled going, what, this doesn't seem right, Tom, that's where you could go to a local agent and say, hey, can you pull this out of the MLS? Or go to a property manager. Property managers are licensed. And you're an investor. They work with investors. You know, we've got these lists from both people, agents and property managers, and say, hey, can you pull me the absentee owners in this area for the last 12 months? You know, I looked it up in ListSource, and there's nothing. So the MLS, which is not tied to the county, they keep record of their own transactions. And so you would likely find some activity in there. But I'm just speaking to the fact that you're going to come across things or you kind of scratch your head and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? And so as business owners, right, we got to put our problem solver hats on and say, you know, what could cause this? Who would have a possible solution? Who may know something about this? You know, Rob bumps into this all the time, and he just jumps online and says, okay, here's what I ran into. Who do I think would know the answer to the question I'm looking for? And then he'll do a Google search for whoever that is in the area, and then he'll just pick up the phone, introduce himself, and have a conversation. And it's just, you're going to come across it. If some of you have already, if you haven't, you're going to. And so it's just a matter of, okay, how do I get past this? How do I get the data I need? And this part, this is just business. This part isn't going away. So when you bump into something like that, so Tom, you could, if there's activity there 2 years ago, but ListSource says nothing in the last 12 months, my gut says there was activity. It just hasn't been recorded yet, or it hasn't been picked up by ListSource yet. So another source would be, you know, a property manager. Because here's the thing about it, too, is this is likely a rental. And so you could call them up and say, hey, my name's Tom. I'm an investor. You know, you're a licensed agent. I want to see if you can pull me some data. I've got a rental property here. You may even have a buyer who would be interested in this thing. But I looked up the absentee owners in ListSource over the last 12 months, and it says zero. I know there's activity in the area. Could you pull me a quick, you know, query or search out of the MLS? And let me see if I, you know, I'll bring this to you first, or whatever, however you want to work it out. Let me get, you know, I've got it under contract. Let me do some research on it. I think it makes a great rental. I'll bring it to you and see if you have any, and see if any of your buyers are looking. You know, they can get a property. Obviously, you get another one under management. And I can potentially get a deal sold. So can you do me a quick favor?
Yeah.
So I mean, on that zip code that we're talking about, that we're talking about a couple of days ago, I have a lot less. I have a lot more confidence that that area is going. It's the one where I have the other two properties that there's nothing in the last in 2 years as well. I mean,
wow. It sounds like these are okay deals, though. That's the thing is see what the MLS says, Tom, instead of just ListSource, because that is a third party. MLS is going to have their own data.
How does the MLS know if something? How does the MLS know if something was a absentee owner purchase? How would it know? Because I mean, sell a deal. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so Darren, you have MLS access there in town.
I do, but I'm just
so what are
I don't
what
know
are your search options? I've never had MLS access. I've just always had an agent pull what I needed from it.
Sure. So I mean when I buy or sell a property, I don't ever put that information into the MLS or offer it up as to whether my buyer is gonna live in the property or not. That doesn't get, and as far as I know, it's not getting entered into the MLS, so I don't know how I would filter on that. But so I'm looking for absentee owner purchases, meaning I've got a buyer who bought something who is not tending to live in it.
Yep, that's it. They're buying a property that they're not living in.
Got it. And so
yeah,
I have
good
to
question.
Figure out.
I'm sure you can
recorded.
Google search it. Yeah. Or you know, and if you're an agent or you are an agent, you know an agent that's just been in the MLS for 2 decades around there.
Right. I'll have to call someone else and say, how do I figure that out?
Yep.
So if he's got 39 absentee owners from last year, though.
From 2 years ago.
I would be calling those guys. I mean, if they bought 2 years ago, they're probably still buying now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
I
was just speaking to the fact that, it, you know, to get zero is pretty unique, and then to go back 2 years and get 39, something's off in the process.
Sure.
So it most likely didn't just shut off. But, yeah, that's absolutely. I mean, Tom's got 39 and a goat.
I got some goats,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Don't we all have a few?
I got a couple hungry goats. Okay. All right, good. My daughter's feeding them now, so all right. Sorry about that.
Happy goats.
So
yeah, I'm gonna text those. I'm gonna try to get their numbers and text them.
Yep.
Those owners, I mean the absentee owner buyers, and see if I get anything.
Go to the surrounding zip codes as well. I mean, you got to have confidence in this deal, Tom, because I know I've seen the numbers on all of these, and they're solid.
Well, you know, I mean, the buyer that I talked to who definitely wants a deal, her numbers that she wants are, like, ridiculously low, right? She wants to buy a house for 10 and put 10 or 15 into it and rent. That, for her, is a deal.
May or may not fit for her, which is fine.
And I may be able to, with one of those other deals, get a deal that fits for her. Obviously, I'm not going to be making much profit on that particular deal if I use her as a buyer. But I might find other buyers, I guess.
Hey, let me ask
you
this. Most outside of, Denver, we really, right, Colorado, we have Denver, and there really isn't another big city. But you go back to Pennsylvania, you know, East Coast, where most of your work in, multiple large cities in the area. What if you went to property managers in the other big cities and say, hey, I've got a deal tied up over here. Who are your buyers that buy in, you know, in multiple locations here in the state? I mean, don't just think, well, my buyer has to come from here. I mean, what if you get outside of it a little bit and you're still in the state and they're, you know, an hour or two away, but so what? I've got a rental with great numbers. So don't, if you're thinking inside that box, let's get outside it a little bit.
Okay. That's an idea. All right.
So, Tom, get that paperwork back. And this is that until word again. I mean, you've got some solid, you know, I've looked at the numbers. The return of cash on these rentals is good. These are solid little deals. The thing about
the thing that makes me worry, I mean, makes me think, is there's other houses around that area that are half the price with the same return, even better returns.
Here's the thing: wow. They may not be a deal. The numbers you sent me, the numbers added up. You know, I haven't put in the research like you have. If you're too high for the area, that could be the case. In which case, you got to renegotiate. But that said, the numbers you've sent over, you know, running the math on them, seem solid.
Right. Well, then I start second guessing my numbers.
Yeah, don't.
You know.
Tell your brain to just quiet down.
Yeah.
Quiet down. Yeah, man, get that paperwork.
Yeah.
Feed those goats and get that paperwork.
Yeah, they're fed. I got to get the paperwork. I got to get the paperwork for all of those houses. I got to do the work on that, the guy who has four or five. I got to do the work on each property and get the numbers
right
for each property and see if those work.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay.
All right, boss. Make it happen.
All right.
Who else?
Has anyone heard from Naif in a while?
I talked to those guys. When was it? We've got an email string going back and forth.
I gotcha.
So,
I haven't heard him on the
yeah,
call for a while. I know I've been getting his emails about his properties. I just wanted to ask him how
yeah.
things are going with if he's moving any of them, you know.
We've been working out a couple kinks in the skip trace process.
Oh,
so
anything good to share with the group or as far?
Well,
as
they were. I had them send over a sample because they were getting some pretty low rates of return on who they were getting a hold of, and it looks like some of the deals they looked up in public records, they're finding the owner of record, but then instead of listing the owner's property address where they live, it's listing a lien holder. So they have credit unions, LLCs, mortgage companies, that kind of thing on some of the data. So pretty tough to skip, you know, it makes the skip trace process so much easier when you have the right location of the mailing address. So we've been ironing out some of that stuff with a little bit of data. Yep.
Interesting.
Hey, Mike, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, yesterday I heard of our Spanish speaker down there in San Antonio.
Yeah, how'd that go?
And, well, he actually bought it to do a fix and flip on it. The thing is, he bought it for $35,000.
Okay.
And what I've seen in that neighborhood is the upper side is probably $65,000, but you're probably more to $50,000, $55,000 in there. But he is willing to sell it. He's done the plumbing. It's been inspected. He's done the electrical, but it hasn't been inspected. So I think we need somebody boots on the ground to go in there and take pictures of what he's done and then find out how much he's already put into it.
Yeah, what does he want for it? Because it sounds like it has some work already underway.
Yeah, some work. Yeah, she did not find that out. She didn't find out what he's put into it or what he wants. It rents for about $890, $900, anywhere from $850 to $900.
$850 to $900. Okay, so I'm going to call it $875.
Okay.
Calculator, right?
Right.
$875 a month times 70% is $612.50 times 12 months is $7,350 net. And if somebody wanted a 14 cap rental, let's see what it looks like at 14 divided by 0.14, they'd be all in at
$52.5.
Divided by if they wanted a 12 cap off net rents now, not off gross. $61,250. If they wanted a 10 cap, divided by 0.1, $73,500. So buying it at 30, so yeah, depends on what he's willing to sell it for and then what you think it needs. So you probably need, like you said, you probably need somebody internal. You may even need a local contractor to head down there, which you want to know a contractor in the area anyway, because then you can go to your buyers and say, hey, this thing needs $15,000 in work. And by the way, I've already sent a contractor by. He's given me that bid, and they're ready to rock and roll. I'll put you in touch with them. Just, you know, take one other issue off the table. But that gives you an idea of what, you know, at 10, 12, and 14 cap, what a landlord would be willing to pay potentially.
Right.
So okay. Yeah, worth a conversation. It's kind of in that maybe area, depending on what it needs, but it sounds like some of the work is done. So I would get 15. I don't know how much, I don't know how tore up it is, but.
No, I don't either. So
15 to 20 okay. On the front side, I mean, it seems to me like you're going to have to buy it for about where it's at. The 35, maybe mark it up to the low 40s. Somebody puts 15 to 20 in, and they've got a little, you know, a little 12 cap rental.
Yeah, so this is going to be tight.
Could be, but that's those aren't bad numbers.
No, no.
I mean, even if somebody was all in at 73.5, what did I say? We were using 875. 70% is 612, basically.
Yeah.
72,000 divided by 612 divided by 12 equals, it's a little under 10-year return of cash. And that's if they were all in at 72,000. So that number comes down, you know, from 7 to 9 years, I would guess. That's not bad at all.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll email you on this one.
Yeah.
Because there's other information I probably need on it.
Okay.
But I'll go ahead and email you on this one.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good. Who else? Anybody have questions on that math I just ran? Hey, Hal.
Hey, quick question.
Yes, sir.
I want to run on Craigslist. I've done a lot of stuff on Craigslist before. And put the ad in there and went to pay for it, and it blocked it. And I'm not doing anything wrong. It's, you know, it's a paid ad. And
right.
It used to be that you could pay for them like with a credit card right now. Can you still do that?
Yes.
Because what it told me to do was call in this 800 number during the day and set it up. It didn't give me an option to pay it. Like with my credit card, all it said is you had to set up an account.
Yeah, you do have to set up an account with Craigslist if you don't have one.
Well, I have a Craigslist account,
and
I've paid.
Still blocked it?
You still blocked it.
Yeah, call them. Good question.
Call them, see what's going on.
Yeah, maybe somebody on here has been through that. I personally haven't. So.
Okay. Well, I'll check it out. And the other thing is on the HomeSnap deal, that did not work with bot. It still screwed it up. I can get the house on there, but
yep.
I can't. It says it's going to send the attachment on an Android, but it doesn't do it. So
I'll tell you how Rob handles this. They post an ad for a bird dog that says you got to have an iPhone and a car.
Well, in fact, I bought an iPhone today just to check it out, and that's what I'm going to do is advertise for an iPhone. Okay.
I like your style. Hey, I'm going to test this out. I'm just going to buy me an iPhone. I love it.
Well,
yeah,
you know, I've been with Verizon for years.
Gotcha.
And I went to Metro and bought the iPhone for half the price, and I got a one-month deal with them. And then, so, at any rate. That's what I'm going to do. Okay.
That's what I would do. Just put, you got to have an iPhone and a car.
Yeah, good idea.
Just bypass it. Yep. There may be, we haven't even looked into it. There may be another HomeSnap type app that works better on Android. We just, you know, that's the kind of stuff that Rob doesn't waste any time on. He just says, iPhone works better. Great. I'm putting in the ads.
Yeah.
Just have an iPhone. That's,
yeah.
He hits the easy button and keeps pushing forward. So
yeah. Okay.
Yep. That's the suggestion. Who else? Somebody's making a left or a right hand turn.
Clock's ticking.
I'm sorry. It was me. I'm waiting after the rain. I'll go back on mute. Sorry.
It's not even a big deal. There, you can't get a bunch of people on the line without a little background noise, so no problem. No big deal. Just drive safe, and if you're going to talk, make sure you're not chewing gum, driving, and chatting. That just sounds dangerous.
Can't do twice, both of them at the same time, right? Okay.
That's right. Too dangerous. All right, everybody. Looks like we knocked out the questions for today, from what I can tell. So, yeah, a lot of things popping. You've got some clear steps. You know, that's where we want this to go, clear instructions, moving towards the goal. So keep the ball moving downfield. Any questions, obviously, get them into the coaching center. Have a great afternoon. You know, great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. We're, you know, I'll be looking for some strong updates by Monday. We can't let four days go by and not make some good progress. So we'll chat with everybody then.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
Thank you so much.
Right. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, Mike.
Talk soon, everybody. Take care.